Coast to coast in Canada, across North America, and around the globe on the World Wide Web, this is Raceline on the Raceline Radio Network, presented by Subaru. And Raceline is driven by the 2017 Subaru WRX and WRX STI. Nothing sounds like it or drives like it. Learn more at Subaru.ca. And by the Subaru BRZ Sports Coupe. Subaru, confidence in motion. Presented by Subaru Canada, we be the Raceline Radio Network, your national radio motorsport authority. Eric Thomas, host and anchor. Lisa Pileski, supreme commander. In Raceline Master Control, Ryan Clark, tackling network procedure for us. Coming up, with two wins in the chase, six-time NASCAR Sprint Cup champion Jimmy Johnson setting the table for number seven as we get down to the final three in this playoff. Going to hook up with Jimmy again after his Martinsville win. The ice racing arm of our sport, one of the oldest in the country. Canadian Automobile Sports Club's ice racing director, Jonathan Rashley, will tell us where ice racing's been and where it's sliding to. Sebastian Vettel, Max Verstappen criticize each after nasty words fly. On in-car radios in Mexico, they exchange unpleasantries. And we get to more of your entries in the Subaru Raceline Mailbag Trivia Contest. Your chance to nab the grand prize pack. In the wrap, rain delays the Texas tussle. Montreal's Lance Stroll officially our latest F1 driver. And Juan Montoya elects to stay with Penske for another Indy 500 shot. So for race fans across Canada and more than several U.S. border states, powerful sport, powerful radio for 24 years, this is the Raceline Radio Network.
Hi, this is Jimmy Johnson, and you're listening to Raceline Radio.
As an unlicensed doctor, we suggest a prescription for one of our shows. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Fake doctor's orders. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand.
Eric Thomas, it's Raceline on the Raceline Radio Network, presented by Subaru with the Raceline Race Wrap. More great news from our partners and friends at good old Subaru. October sales, unprecedented totals. Sales up 9.7% over 4,800 vehicles sold. Year-to-date sales up 6.5% over 42,000 Subs sold. On track for a fifth consecutive annual sales record. Ain't it fine? The WRX STI, featured right here on Raceline Radio, up 25.9%. It's best October ever. Big thanks once again to all of you who grab the Subaru message each and every week right across the Raceline Radio Network. Proud of our partnership and our success over 24 years and counting. NASCAR Sprint Cup race 8 of 10. Chase for the championship, the Texas Motor Speedway in Fort Worth. Very soggy. Rain and weepers held up a start for hours. Austin Dillon on the pole. The race still running. When we leave the air, go to NASCAR.com for the results that you want and follow it that way. Bottom four in points going into Texas, by the way. Logano, Edwards, Harvick, and Kurt Busch. Coming up, more chase thoughts from six-time champion, maybe soon to be seven, Jimmy Johnson. Cup clippings. Police charging a ne'er-do-well from Fairfax, Virginia, who never should drive again, with careless, after more than 20 people were struck by his car near one of the Martinsville track exits last weekend. Witnesses told police this guy allegedly didn't want to wait his turn to get out, cut out of line, hit another vehicle, then some fans, including kids, and some needed hospital treatment. Really? Oddly enough, alcohol does not appear to be a factor in this mess, and the calamity remains under investigation. NASCAR Xfinity at Texas, Kyle Larson wins. One more to do in their round of eight. Trucks at Texas as well. Johnny Sauter's second win in a row to advance to the final four. Calgary's Cameron Haley for Sportsnet 960, The Fan, 10th. Formula One, with just Brazil and Abu Dhabi left to do, Nico Rosberg leads Lewis Hamilton by 19 points after Lewis cracked off two straight wins. But if Rosberg wins Brazil, the championship is his. Meanwhile, Williams has officially announced F3 champ. Team development driver, 18-year-old Lance Stroll of Montreal, is joining Valtteri Bottas with the team next year. Lance recently told Raceline Radio his young age is a non-issue. It's just a number.
It's not always about rushing and getting there the quickest and being the youngest. I think, you know, everyone has their own situation. But whether it's 17, 18, 19, as long as you're ready and as long as it's the right time to do it, that's all that matters, really.
Exactly. Lance is the first full-time Canadian F1 driver since Jacques Villeneuve, who won the title for Williams himself, retired in 2006. And F1's not going to penalize Ferrari Sebastian Vettel for his F-bomb-laden rant aimed at longtime race director Charlie Whiting in Mexico. After being stuck behind Max Verstappen and somehow unable to get around the slower Red Bull, Vettel twice told Charlie to F-O over the in-car radio. Yikes. Vettel, the four-time champion, immediately went to Charlie after the race to apologize, although Whiting says he wasn't even aware that Vettel had swore at him. Vettel likes Verstappen, but not the way he drives.
You know, he's fast, he's pushing, he's redefining the limits, not in a negative way, but in terms of pushing, playing with the car, etc. He's doing a lot of stuff. He's a skilled kid. You know, I like him in general. I think some of the moves on track he needs to learn and needs to calm down, because sometimes I think he's ultimately hurting himself more than he's actually helping himself.
Verstappen questions Vettel's maturity in his swear fest. Max less than impressed with the German's language.
Now, you know, he's just a very frustrated guy. First of all, you know, he's shouting on the radio like a child. It is just like a child. And then, you know, after the start finish, to do things like that, you know, it's even more childish.
Like a child. Again, no penalty for Vettel's cuss fest in Mexico. IndyCar, one off is good enough. Sorry. Well, Juan Montoya is going to stick with Team Penske for 2017 just for the Indianapolis 500 in a fifth Penske entry. Montoya figures it's his best opportunity to win a third 500 Classic. Following a disappointing 2016, the 41-year-old Colombian was replaced by recent Raceline Radio guest Joseph Newgarden. And the amazing James Hinchcliffe continues to impress tons on TV's Dancing with the Stars. Repartnered with Jenna Johnson after Shauna Burgess blew out her knee, Hinch's Viennese waltz with a Suicide Squad Halloween theme scored yet another perfect 30. NHRA drag racing, their shootout with one round to go at Pomona, California coming up. Antron Brown has already locked down a third Top Fuel career title. He'll be on with us as a guest next week. In funny car, Ron Capps, though, leads Matt Hagen by 86 and Jason Line on top of Greg Anderson by 19. That, of course, in pro stock. The Rally News, a presentation of the Subaru WRX and WRX STI, creating those monster sales. First Audi in World Endurance, the 24 Hours of Le Mans, and now mere days after clinching the World Rally Championship Manufacturer's title and riding another driver's crown with Sebastian Ogier, Volkswagen with a shocker that they're going to ditch the WRC. VW looking at the bottom line asking, how can we continue to justify a multi-million pound budget to go rallying when billions are going out the other door in the wake of the diesel emissions scandal? Well, they have a point, of course. VW, a rallying powerhouse, winning a dozen titles in various series, including the WRC, over only 4 years. A shame to see them go. I do hope they make a return. Well, the dirt racing community in the Northeast, New York State, and Southern Ontario mourning the loss of legendary track announcer Gary Montgomery, who passed away on his 74th birthday in Penn Yan, New York, after a courageous battle with cancer. Montgomery's love of the sport dates back to the 1950s. Gary's knowledge of driver stats and history, unsurpassed. I had the pleasure of working with Montgomery on the old Rush Hour on Dirt TV series. I remember a few occasions, specifically at Super Dirt Week at Syracuse, in driving snow, with just shirts and ties, no coats, waiting to do show openings for Terry Rumsey. Good memories. Godspeed, Mr. Montgomery. You're a nice man, a greater announcer, and you certainly will be sorely missed. Well, they call him bold and they call him decisive, and London's Fanshawe College has awarded an honorary diploma to retired driver Toronto's Paul Tracy. The thrill from West Hill, the first athlete to be honored in this way by the college, and they're observing their 50th anniversary next year. Tracy is only the third racing personality in the world to be granted either an honorary degree or diploma. And the company is pretty good, too. Enzo Ferrari and Sir Jackie Stewart are the other two drivers. PT, if you don't know, now resides in Scottsdale, Arizona. He owns and operates a ridiculously successful custom motorcycle and accessories business called Black Label Baggers. Of course, he's still the color commentator on IndyCar telecasts on the NBC Sports Channel that's seen in Canada on Rogers Sportsnet. Tracy, a multi-time Raceline Radio guest and friend, scored 31 IndyCar wins, eighth all-time. He's tied currently with Dario Franchitti. He also won the 2003 CART IndyCar Championship and, of course, is a recent inductee into the Canadian Motorsport Hall of Fame. And that's all we can wedge in here for this week on the Raceline Race Wrap. Your questions, your opinions, and your comments are, of course, always welcome. Trade off ideas, thoughts, and opinions with fellow race fans across the tundra, because those comments could win you the grand prize. In the Subaru Raceline Mailbag Trivia Contest, we get to your emails, entries, and comments in just a couple of minutes. All right, Lisa, pit stop, if you would please, in our first guest segment, ice racing. Yeah, one of the oldest forms of the sport in Canada, don't you know? We're going to meet CASC Ice Racing Director Jonathan Rashley. Then some further NASCAR chase notes from Mr. Jimmy Johnson looking for championship number 7 at Homestead. This is Raceline, presented by Subaru. See your local Subaru dealer for a performance drive today, tomorrow, whatever day works for you, along the Raceline Radio Network.
This is Juan Montoya, and you're listening to Raceline Radio.
This ain't like when you're at a game and sign up for a credit card just to get the prize and then you immediately cancel the credit card. Because there's no prize when you sign up for our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand.
This is the Raceline Radio Network. Eric Thomas with your face. Have a boo at our Raceline Radio Network Facebook page when you have a moment. You can also follow us on Twitter at ET Raceline. Won't be long before most of us along the network will be in the grip of another winter. But icy weather means another season of one of the oldest forms of the sport in Canada, ice racing. Not so much on frozen lakes anymore, but on specially made ice-coated land-based tracks. The fun of the cold is still very popular, though, as we meet the ice racing director of the Canadian Automobile Sports Club Sanction, Jonathan Rashley, on Raceline Radio. Jonathan, I promoted this interview on the air stating that ice racing, racing automobiles on frozen lakes, is one of the oldest forms of the sport in Canada. In your estimation, would I be accurate in that assessment?
Yes, you would. I know when they first started the ice racing, they did run on frozen lakes.
Yeah.
Up in the Minden area and around Peterborough and such. I know as the years went on, as the frozen lakes started to not get as frozen over, they had to move over to land tracks.
Okay. Now, is that happening universally across the sport, that they're actually coming off the lakes and going to inland tracks, or do we still have a certain amount of the sport going on stiff lakes, as it were?
I know in the very north, I know Thunder Bay, they still run on the lake. I know there's a couple places in New York that still run on a lake,
okay.
But as far as I know, most of the tracks are now land-based.
But are we talking across the country here with CASC? You're the ice racing director. Are we just talking Ontario here, or are we talking right across the entire nation, Jonathan?
As far as CASC, it's just Ontario.
Okay.
I know Quebec has their own sanctioning body for that. Well, Ottawa has started theirs about 3 or 4 years ago. They started their own. Just for us, it's just for around Ontario.
Okay. Any guesstimation on how many may be taking part in your organization in the CASC ice racing realm?
I know on average every weekend we have anywhere from 120 to 140.
That's not really dwindling, man. If every other racing series had that many entries, I think they'd all be pretty healthy. That's not a bad car count at all, Jonathan.
No. I mean, some of the classes are small, but our largest class is our front wheel drive rubber to ice class. They have the most cars in it, anywhere from, I think, 15 up until, I've seen as many as 30, 35.
Wow. Now, you mentioned the Minden Fairgrounds. Is this basically just flooding an existing track of land with ice and running on top of that? Or, Jonathan, is it a little more involved technically than that?
No, what they do is every year the fairgrounds is basically just, you know, a big patch of grass and stuff like that that they use for, you know, their tractor pulls.
I see.
Like that during the summer.
Right.
So when it gets to the winter, when the first snow falls,
okay.
The Minden Kinsmen, who build the track for us, they go out and they plow out the track shape.
Okay.
To get the inside and outside banks.
Right.
So that when it gets cold enough, they can start putting ice down.
Jonathan Rashley is the CASC Ice Racing Director on Raceline Radio. I would imagine in terms of how you get around these racetracks, Jonathan, if you raced on dirt tracks where you basically broad slide around corners, you know, the old turn right to go left scenario, is it the same basic application here with ice racing?
For the most part. I mean, front wheel drive, those guys there,
yeah.
If you're running with studs, yeah, you have to go sideways to go fast. If you're running rubber, that's not always the case, because it depends on, you know, how much grip the track has or how little the track has.
Mm-hmm.
Rear-wheel drive, basically, you have to stay as straight as you can, otherwise you won't be going very, very quick. I know the four-wheel drive guys, they drift all the time.
Sure, yeah, that's the only way to get around these things. Now, that sounds good. Your support for Mobil 1 and Minden Subaru, I like that Subaru sponsorship, because they're the presenting sponsor of the Raceline Radio Network. The ice racing would be pretty hard to do without that sponsorship support, right?
Very hard.
Yeah.
Without their help, it would be very, very difficult to put on weekends.
If anybody listening to this, Jonathan, wanted more information about the rules, the specs, and an entry form, what's the best thing to do? Go to your website, casc.on.ca/ice racing. Do I have it right?
Correct. Yeah, they can go there. They can get all the information that they need to get started. Basically, what they have to do is join a racing club first,
mm-hmm.
and then they can go on to the CAC website or contact CAC directly, which is on the website.
Okay.
And they can purchase an ice racing license from there.
Perfect. Jonathan, I'm very glad you reached out to me in a simple email. As I said, I've always wanted to do more about ice racing and do something on this program. So thank you for these few minutes. Have a great season. And let's reconnect in the spring to wrap up the schedule. Thanks so much, Jonathan.
Absolutely. Thank you very much.
Car counts in the hundreds ain't shabby in the slightest, is it? No, have a look at their 2016-17 ice racing schedule on the website, casc.on.ca/ice racing, and go and see one of the races. They're an awful lot of fun. Thanks to Jonathan Rashley, the CASC ice racing director, for his update on the health of the frozen side of our sport. All right, Lisa, another pit stop before we play another round of our Subaru Raceline Mailbag Trivia Contest, and we get a few more chase notes from maybe 7-time champion Jimmy Johnson. This is the Raceline Radio Network.
Hi, this is John Forrest for coming right back on Raceline Radio.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. No medical exam or health questions will be asked. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand.
Radio Motorsport Authority, the Raceline Radio Network. I'm Eric Thomas. Examine my Thomas Tales blog and the Canadian Motor Speedway website, and my Thomas Tales columns and Inside Track Motorsport News Magazine, and on the web at the Raceline page at sportsnet.ca. Here we go again with our Subaru Raceline email bag trivia contest. Your chance to win the grand prize pack. Going to be doing that in just a few short weeks. Asking you Subaru trivia questions. You have to include the answers in your email of commentary to qualify to go into the break drum for the official draw to win the prize pack. The winning entry is drawn at random at the end of the on-track racing season. End of November. That's coming fast. And the winner claims the prize pack loaded up with all kinds of great stuff from Subaru and Raceline and a few little other doodads besides. All right, here's the question you have to answer. The 2017 Subaru WRX STI. How long does it take this car in stock configuration to go from 0 to 60 miles an hour? And what is its top-rated speed? I'll ask it again. 2017 Subaru WRX STI. How long does it take the car in stock configuration to go from 0 to 60 miles an hour? And what is its top-rated speed? Okay? Use Eric at racelineradio.ca. Eric at racelineradio.ca to get your email in. Eric spelled with a capital E, small k. You never put a space between Raceline and Radio. Let us go to the mailbag. Oh, before we actually get to a couple of notes here, I was a little late on the wire getting this off the wire here, but of course we had Parker Thompson of Red Deer, Alberta, with us on the show last week, who stayed over in England for the Formula Ford Festival for the Walter Hayes F1600 Trophy Dash as well in an added assignment. The day one report on Facebook, here's what they said. This is the team talking. Well, we had a wild first lap and he got caught up in another wreck. Oh boy. Survived, but fell well back to 23rd at the end of the first lap, but a great recovery to finish 14th. This is the first of 2 days, I'm assuming. We're proud of Parker and the team as they really were in it to win it and were competitive all weekend. Parker also set the fastest lap of the final, and that shows he had the pace to be at the front. So we will take that and build on the Team Canada scholarship for 2017. Hear, hear. Thank you for all the support and all the followers. Watch Facebook for more to come with updates and lots of photos. I think there's an update on today, and I'm talking, of course, Sunday as we're talking here on what's happening. Very, very proud of Parker and what he's doing there. I mean, he's really making a name for himself, and you're talking about, you know, Lance Stroll to Montreal, the age of 18, becoming a full-time F1 driver with Williams with Valtteri Bottas next year. You know, part of the mandate of this program has always been to chart up-and-coming Canadian talent, and Parker at a Red Deer Alberta is certainly getting that done, and he's turning heads and gathering some attention, racing in Europe, and that's a good thing. So we're going to continue to do that. I also wanted to talk about some folks who have been messaging me and wondering, you know, it's pretty much asked of me every time I see fans. Eric, what's going on, first of all, with Canadian Motor Speedway? That's still going through government process, I know. But what's also going on with Cayuga Speedway that has been renamed Jocasa Speedway? Their repaving has resumed. But the good part of this is that they finally have a credible face to this project in former NASCAR driver
and former NASCAR Pinty's Series or NASCAR Canada Series racing director Alex Nagy, who has departed NASCAR in the administration part of it, and is now the new general manager of what is now known as Jukasa Speedway. It's not a 5/8 mile anymore, but they indeed are putting pavement down, and I have an appointment the top of this coming week to get out there to Cayuga Speedway or Jukasa Speedway, whatever you want to call it. It's going to be a new deal trying to remember the new name, but that's what they're calling it now. Of course, there's the native connection, and that's what Jukasa is, and it's part of their culture and their celebration in that nomenclature and that vernacular. So Cayuga Speedway becomes Jukasa Speedway, but I'm really, really glad that they've got a guy that we've known for a long, long time, consider him a friend, and as a matter of fact, in Alex Nagy, who is going to be able to give us an update on what's happening there. You can see there, you know, there's been some photographs and some stories with our friends at Inside Track Motorsport News, also up on Facebook as well. And of course, Alex is very, very vibrant in the social media, so you're going to see things on Twitter. You know, see if you connect with him on Twitter. He can give you some regular updates on what's happening there, but it looks like this place is really starting to come together, and that's good. That's really good. You never want to see tracks close, but when they can bring a track back from oblivion and get it running again, I think that's a fantastic thing. It really, really is. And of course, you remember the glory days back in the in the 1980s into the 90s, when Molson Money was behind Bob Slack and the ASA running there, American Speed Association, ACT running there, NASCAR guest drivers driving there. I would imagine that's all going to be on the drawing board. But next week, Alex is going to be able to fill us in on what they have planned in terms of what's going to run there. You got to think that if Alex is in charge of the place, that a NASCAR Pinty Series race or NASCAR Canada race will certainly be somewhere on the drawing board, and that's a good thing. Will it ever come back to its former glory? I don't know. I mean, it just remains to be seen where they're going to run there. It's still in Nell's Corners. This is south of Hamilton by AM 900 CHML's coverage, and that's a good thing, but it's really a terrific thing that Alex Nagy is in charge of this now and bringing back Jukasa Speedway. Alex will be our guest next week on Raceline Radio. The Subaru trivia question you have to answer to qualify to win the prize pack. 2017 Subaru WRX STI. How long does it take this car to go from 0 to 60, and what's its top rated speed? Use Eric at racelineradio.ca to collect with your mail. Eric's but with a capital E and a small K. Pit stop time, Lisa? Yep, then we connect again with NASCAR Chase Dominator Jimmy Johnson. This is Raceline presented by Subaru. Test drive a BRZ Sports Coupe today for the ultimate in performance handling. This is the Raceline Radio Network.
Hi, this is Mario Andretti. Raceline Radio returns in a moment.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Do not settle. Demand. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand.
Canada's National Radio Motorsport Authority, by gosh, Raceline on the Raceline Radio Network, presented by Subaru. The biggest story so far in this current NASCAR Sprint Cup chase, pretty simple. The reawakening of Jimmy Johnson, the number 48 Hendricks Chevy crew. Well, not much to crow about during the regular season, no. Johnson has dominated this chase with wins at Charlotte and recently Martinsville to win a spot in the Final Four at Homestead, Florida, a seventh career Cup championship coming into much sharper focus. Right after the Martinsville win through NASCAR Media Services, plugging in the lines for a few more chase thoughts from Jimmy Johnson on Raceline Radio. Jimmy, not that long ago, we asked you after your win at Charlotte, did this set you up for a genuine run at a seventh career NASCAR Sprint Cup championship? However, since then, I guess a spot in the Final Four at Homestead obviously follows in that pattern after another win for you at Martinsville.
To win at Martinsville in the fall from the Hendrick Motorsport side is a very meaningful victory for us. So a lot of emotions are all coming together, and obviously the bright spot and the shiny spot in all this is that we've got a shot at a championship. So right. We're fired up and ready to go. I'm very, very excited for the next couple of weeks, and certainly ready to go to Homestead and race for this thing.
Well, the Martinsville win wasn't a sure thing, though, was it? I mean, the car's power just kind of died, crashed all of a sudden, like dead in the water, and that was pretty tense. I mean, the long green flag run allowed you to come from the back to win this and recover from that. But can you describe for us what happened there when all of a sudden the 48 was without power? You know, very bizarre. Was it electrics? Was it fuel? Was it fuel pressure, maybe? Was it, or maybe a combination of all of those things?
No, we're definitely sputtering and running out of gas.
Okay.
And I don't exactly know what happened, but somehow there's a switch for the ECU, and it was off. So when I saw the fuel pressure fluctuating, the engine sputtering, I don't know. I was reaching around, and I hit the switch and shut the ECU off, which cut the power off of the car.
Sure.
So then I came to a stop, and in my mind somewhere there was a voice saying, recycle the power of the car. So I shut the main power off, counted to three, which I'm sure was only about 1 second instead of three, turned it back on, and then... You know, in my mind, I'm like, okay, all switches on, and I went through my checklist, and I saw that the most important switch was off. So I flipped it on, fuel pressure came up, car fired, and off it went. So then it was, you know, hopefully pit one or two laps from then, and it went like five or six, and it was really scary, hoping that I could maintain solid fuel pressure, but I just kept coasting and shutting the engine off, and I was able to stretch it.
Jimmy Johnson, driver of the number 48 Lowe's Chevrolet in the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series. We're chatting with him in the media center following his win at Martinsville. You have told us, Jimmy, that there's no favorite in this chase, that anybody can win this title out of this current round of eight. You seem like a favorite to me, though, at this point with a couple of wins and that old number 48 team momentum is building yet again. What is your, mindset, I guess, going to be to Homestead with all this experience you guys have? I mean, you're obviously going to call on the experience because it's invaluable. You guys have earned that. You've built that on your own. Lots of other, you know, guys would kill for that kind of experience. You and Chad Knaus have backed away. Is nothing fancy this time as we head to the final show at Homestead?
No, I'm just going to do my thing. I mean, if that does something other than sweet. But, you know, we've got one race, and at a track we haven't won at yet that we assume we're going to have to go down there and win at. You know, this chase, you know, us last year being eliminated at Dover was hard to grasp. The 78 not being a part of the final eight is hard to grasp this year. So that's where it's just hard to pick a favorite.
What would you consider would have been more likely for you, that you have three top fives in a 15-race stretch during a very forgettable season, then you turn around and now we're heading to Florida, to Homestead, or the fact that you could have your car stall and be completely out of power and remain on the lead lap, you know, in this chase race, and then win the thing at Martinsville? And again, you know, the turnaround from the uneventful summer has been amazing. Maybe just a few words on that to start.
In the turnaround, I'm way impressed with, especially from where we came from to where we've ended up.
Yeah.
It's one thing to see progress, but to really advance and go back to leading a lot of laps and contending for many wins is very, very impressive. And we couldn't have done it on our own. It took all four teams, and then it took all the departments at Hendrick. And honestly, it took Rick Hendrick showing his commitment for him to sit in the wind tunnel for a 24-hour shift with all the teams. His commitment, and he didn't have anything to do, or, you know, he couldn't help being in that wind tunnel, but his presence there and the message that sent to the organization. And there's other examples like that as well. I think he's led by example, and you know, we've come a long way in a short period of time, which is really impressive.
Jimmy Johnson with us on Raceline Radio in the Media Center at Martinsville, hooked up via NASCAR Media. We thank them for doing that for us. What's the key for you guys over the next 4 weeks? You just said do your own thing. Is it as simple as that, Jimmy?
Well, the big takeaway for us over these next 2 weeks could be momentum.
And, okay.
You know, if we can run up front or win again, I mean, that's just huge momentum for the team. So that's the big thing we have on the line that could work for us going to Homestead.
So now the talk will start about, and you know it's coming, okay? You've got six, Jim. What about a seventh title? I assume you don't want to have that as an all-encompassing theme. But I mean, really, how do you avoid it? It is what it is, right? I mean, how do you do this? You know, start talking about seven. You can't ignore it. You're going to be asked about it. How do you handle it? Because I mean, it's right there for you now, and it's inevitable. It's going to come up now, because here we are asking you about seven, and you know we're not going to be the only ones.
It is 3 weeks away, but I feel like at least now, you know, an hour into it, it's a lot different than if I was sitting here with the old format. And we're going to have four drivers with the same points value starting that race. And it's going to be different. There's nothing to protect. We're all at a tie, and it's just go out there and lay down your best work. So I think that will be helpful from a stress management standpoint and thinking of, you know, what could possibly happen. You know, I'd love to do it, and just honestly just thrilled to have a shot at it. I mean, that's all you can hope for, is just to have a shot at it.
Jimmy, Denny Hamlin was frustrated about his run, this run, I guess, at Martinsville, the contact between the two of you. You know, he came up on you and felt that you raced him hard, and he found that hard to grasp somehow. Talk about this, if you can, and if things have been kind of building up between you two. I mean, you don't want to start sounding like the F1 guys who, you know, scream penalties and moan and cry when somebody won't move over or somebody dares to race them. You know, the last time I looked, this is auto racing. It's not a political debate. Is Denny complaining about nothing here, Jimmy?
I'm puzzled that he had to move me like he did. The inside is a preferred lane. I gave him the inside. I got a little something working on the top, but I mean, there's a line of cars behind him. I can't just roll over. You know, I prefer to race people cleanly, and I could have easily taken the easier route and just moved him when I came back to take over the lead, and I didn't. And I hope that showed him that, look, man, I don't have a beef. I don't know what he's got cooking in his head and what he thinks that happened at Loudon, what he thinks happened at Charlotte. Man, I'm out there to win.
Sure.
We got points on the line. We got a championship on the line. Yep. And I got accused of racing hard. I'll take that as a compliment.
And I don't think there's any other way you can take that. Let me finish it off here, Jimmy. You know your time is pressed here. The Martinsville win was important emotionally for this team, too. We can't forget about that, remembering that awful plane crash that took 10 members of the family in 2004, the 12-year anniversary of the tragedy, and you come up with the win at Martinsville. It's, as you said at the beginning of this little segment here, that this was an emotional day at Martinsville, and that's remembering those we lost in the plane crash certainly did come to mind here, didn't it?
You know, to be here in the fall and pay respect to the people that we lost in the plane crash is one aspect when we show up here. To see Rick in Victory Lane and to have a few moments talking about little Ricky and his brother and the plane crash and the people that were on it. I mean, there's just a moment there that we always take for ourselves. I'm not sure if others do, but it definitely hits something inside of us that lived through that. And then to punch our ticket and know that the chance at seven's alive is pretty damn awesome.
It is pretty darn or damn awesome, if you like. I mean, I've stated this so many times. I know you're all sick of this, but I say it because I believe it to be true. The Hendricks Lowe's number 48, Johnson Knaus combination are still the best team in the NASCAR Sprint Cup Garage, and they're starting to show those colors in the final races of the Chase. I mean, that story alone, I mean, there's all kinds of subplots and all kinds of other stories involved with this Chase, but the fact of the matter was that, you know, again, coming into this playoff, I couldn't find too many people out there that liked Jimmy Johnson's chances. They just didn't do a whole lot during the regular season. But the good teams, the great teams, make sure that something happens once they get down to the money round, and the recovery of this squad has been, you know, pretty much phenomenal, and they're marching towards what we think is going to be a seventh championship. All right, Lisa, one final pit stop to do. Then we'll be back to preview next week's show and more. And, of course, we do that on the last lap. Still lots more to come. This is Raceline, presented by Subaru, powered by the heart-pounding, turbocharged WRX STI on the Raceline Radio Network.
This is Will Power, and you're listening to Raceline Radio.
Send us all your money. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher, and we'll send you a free subscription for Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand, absolutely free.
Eric Thomas, Raceline Across Canada on the Raceline Radio Network, white flag displayed. So here's what we have planned for you next week. Always asked, we said before, what the devil's going on with Canada's largest paved oval at this point, Cayuga Speedway, now known as Jocassa Speedway near Hamilton. Former NASCAR Canada race director Alex Nagy, Jocassa GM now, will have a progress report for us finally. NHRA drag racing champion Antron Brown tells us about his third career Top Fuel title, where 10,000 horsepower race cars play in the 330-mile-per-hour realm. Plus your entries for the Subaru Raceline email bag. Trivia contest, but when checkers fly, we say goodbye. Hugh Normus, Raceline thanks going out to Lance Stroll, Jonathan Rashley, Jimmy Johnson, Sebastian Vettel, Max Verstappen, to ITV and NASCAR Media for lending the sound. Big thanks to Supreme Commander Lisa Pileski and Ryan Clark for operations pre- and post-production, and to our Subaru Raceline email bag trivia contest players and qualifiers. So from all of us at Raceline Radio, I'm Eric Thomas. So long, everyone. Raceline Coast to Coast of the Raceline Radio Network, presented by Subaru, has been driven by the 2017 Subaru WRX and WRX STI. Nothing sounds like it or drives like it. Learn more at Subaru.ca, and by the Subaru BRZ Sports Coupe. Subaru, confidence in motion. Talk to y'all again next week, right here on Raceline Radio.